Okay, so welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club. Today we're looking at Greatest American Hero from 1981 to 83.
So, believe it or not.
Believe it or not. And today we have Jeanette.
Hi.
We have Gypsy.
Yo.
Angus.
Hello.
And we've got Mackenzie, special guest star. And we have Lisa.
Hey. Don't make me sing again. I'll start singing.
Hi, and Alex.
Yeah, hey. Hi.
Hello.
Okay, and so today we're looking at Greatest American Hero, but first we've got a few little news items, yeah.
Okay, we'll begin. Two cult actors, one cult film more than cult TV, have passed away this last couple of months. Ian Holm, who played Frodo in the BBC radio play that was of Lord of the Rings from 1981, and then went on to play Bilbo in the movies, the Peter Jackson movies. And he had a few other notable roles, mostly in film, Alien, Fifth Element, Brazil, Time Bandits.
Oh, Time Bandits! Is that on the list? That is such a movie.
A special, it one of our specials. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And Brazil should be a special. Love the film.
I've never seen Brazil, and it's on my list. Yes. It's supposed to be one of the best movies.
Weird movie.
Oh, it's Terry Gilliam, of course. Yeah. It's a weird movie.
It's one of his best, though, definitely.
He also played Pod in BBC 90s TV adaptation of The Borrowers, so... which I think is on the list I've got.
Ah,
so one day we'll get round to it. Now, the other one was, and this is one I wasn't aware of.
Today, yeah, Grant Imahara from...
Oh, that was today?
Yes, yep. Yes. Oh, right. Okay. From Mythbusters, White Rabbit Project, Tested? Did you say Tested with Adam Savage?
Star Wars prequels, he did the robotics for R2-D2.
Oh, and I don't know whether you guys used to watch The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. He used to have, instead of a sidekick, he had a robot sidekick called, I think, Jeff Peterson or something.
Yeah.
And Grant Imahara made the robot. Oh,
really?
Yes. I used to love that show.
But yeah, he passed away today. I don't know what the date is. Of a brain aneurysm, which is pretty sad.
Yeah, it is.
14th of July.
Yes.
Yes. Recording the June episode because of time constraints. We're recording in July.
Yes. We're a bit late this month.
And he was only 49 years old too, which was really
that old. Yeah. Very young. On cheerful news, Patrick Stewart celebrated his 80th birthday yesterday, the 13th of July. Oh, wow. And of course, Patrick Stewart is a hero of Star Trek Next Gen and Picard.
It's my husband.
Also in movies, he played Professor Charles Xavier in the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
It goes way back.
He played Sir Lancelot, I think, in the Arthur...
Excalibur.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Lancelot?
No, it was someone.
I forget who he played, but yes, he was in Excalibur.
Yeah,
and he's very sassy when people bring it up as well. Like, oh, you were this? And he goes, yes. Well done. You watched a movie.
He was also in I, Claudius, wasn't he? And,
yes, he was Claudius.
And he also played...
Lennon.
In
a BBC TV series about the events leading up to World War One.
And I strongly...
Ideal. He just... was so good as Lena.
And I'd strongly suggest that if you get a chance, go onto YouTube and check out his Macbeth monologues that he does, because they are incredible. He brings, I don't know, it just feels like a different interpretation to it, because it's not done in a medieval style. It's done in a war style. In the middle of, like, the Blitz kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And he does it beautifully. Mm. It's gorgeous.
But that's where he started, wasn't it? It was with the Royal Shakespearean Company for many years. And his voice acting work, he's done some great voice acting work over the years and all kinds of stuff.
Commander Bullock from American Dad.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. He has so much fun with that. There's supposed to be a show, I've never had a chance to watch it, called Blunt Talk. And apparently that is just so naughty. It's supposed to be really funny, but really,
And Ricky Gervais is actors as well.
Extras.
Oh, he is wonderful. Ricky Gervais walks into the little trailer with him and Ricky Gervais is like, hey, can I get some tips from you? And Sir Patrick Stewart's like, yeah, well, here are some tips, but I mean, really, let's talk about the ladies. This is how you get them. It turns out to be like a real ladies' man kind of thing. Like, you know, I've been with Margaret, Janice, Beatrice a couple of times. She's good. And I think that's actually the first time before I ever had seen Star Trek. That was the first time I'd ever seen Sir Patrick Stewart.
It's got again. Very, very good comedic timing, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And okay. One of your favourite movies, kiddo, the Emoji Movie, where he plays the poo emoticon. So, you know,
he was really proud about that. Oh. I don't know if you saw any of like the interviews, but he's like, I play the poo emoji. It's like a chocolate ice cream or something. He's really proud of it.
Beautiful person. He's the only one.
Yeah.
But he also started up the Domestic Abuse Association for mothers and families trying to escape from that. So.
Okay, so The Greatest American Hero. I don't know if many of our listeners have ever heard of Greatest American Hero. It's
well, Lisa has.
I know the song.
I know the song. I had this in my head all morning.
It is a great opening song. That's what most people know. It's a sort of comedy superhero television series from 1981. It's about a school teacher that gets partnered with a FBI agent when they get a super suit delivered to them by a UFO in the middle of the desert, and then he promptly loses the instructions.
So he's got
no idea how his suit works or what it can do.
Okay.
And so throughout the entire series, he's trying to work out what he can do until finally somewhere in third season, he gets the instruction set again and probably loses it again.
So it is supposed to be a bit quirky, tongue-in-cheek thing, because I always thought it was probably one of those shows that maybe took itself too seriously because I hadn't watched it, but I'm looking forward to this now.
I'm just thinking, if you told me to create a show called Greatest American Hero, I would have it be an underdog who can't do anything right and screws up all the time, but he's got a good heart and he does that thing somehow by luck or by everyone helping him. So I would assume that would basically be that kind of, he's actually pathetic and we care about him sort of thing.
So we'll see how close you are to the right answer when we watch it.
I think Family Guy took the mickey out of Greatest American Hero. I hadn't seen it, but I do know the theme tune and I'm pretty sure it's because of American Hero. And from what you've said, it sounds pretty accurate. But honestly, I thought they were just taking the mickey out of it. I didn't think that that was actually what it was, but it is. And that's sad.
We're about to see it.
Angus's pick, so Angus.
Yeah.
Why did you pick it?
Well, this is an interesting one because I remember being at school and having discussions about this show with some of the librarians, because it's a very interesting show because of the, instead of being that underdog character that's being helped to be amazing, it's very much in almost American pride sort show to a degree, with the FBI agent being the good guy and it's all about like the CIA being the good guys.
Reagan-esque, not always the good guys, but it plays around with those sort of Reagan-esque mentality. I'm going to say it now before I watch it, I feel like this is going to be like the Trapdoor show where it's got this real kick-ass theme song and then it just kind of like it can't live up to its theme song.
I don't think you can pick it to Trapdoor, the kids show.
You know Trapdoor.
I know exactly. Yeah. I just went to that as example of a good theme song.
I always felt like the theme song was always better than the actual show itself. Yeah. It was like this big animated theme song and then these little plasticine dudes.
Yeah.
Not that I'm knocking Bert, but it is
a funny show because it branches between quite right wing to quite left wing at times, depending on who's writing the episode. Yeah. I mean, the opening episode starts with
it's have a left wing, but
it's
centralist.
It's left wing for America, which is the same.
You know, the very first episode opens with neo-Nazi Christian right-wing fundamentalist white supremacists, and that's who he's fighting in the first episode. But we're not doing first episode today. We're doing an episode called Best Desk Scenario, which is episode 9, which sort of has the players riffing off each other a fair bit, which is good. So the characters are William Catt, who plays the teacher, Ralph Hinckley, Robert Culp, he's kind of the straight man of the group. He's known for Spy vs. Spy, which was a TV show
based off the Mad magazine or something, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think the Mad magazine's based on that.
I Spy, with Bill Cosby.
And Connie Selica is a lawyer and William Catt's girlfriend. One of the features of the show, which we probably won't see today, is there's all these kids that are, you know, his students. Quite a lot of the students ended up in film themselves later on, you know, as...
But they weren't children, though, were they? They were, like, college students, sort of teenage college.
But anyone underneath Justin's age is a child, so...
Correct. <Yeah. laughs> Okay, I guess that's it. We'll go on and watch Greatest American Hero, the episode...
Who could it be? Tell us, Justin. Look it up. Believe it or not, He's looking up it on Wikipedia. It's a good one anyway. We can't wait to watch
it. I did just cover it anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. We'll watch the episode.
Yes. We'll watch the episode, yeah. We just watched Greatest American Hero, The Best Test Scenario, which is episode 9 of season one. Yeah.
Yes.
And Jeanette, what did you think of that?
Yeah, it was pretty much as I remembered it. It is funny, but yeah, of its time, very definitely.
Yeah. It didn't seem to age as well as I was quite fully expecting. It's one of those slower-paced shows. Everything happens a lot more slowly as opposed to modern TV, where it's,
Yeah, certainly not as fast-paced. No. A lot of the episodes are fairly sci-fi or even supernatural. Throughout the first series, it's all sort of standard bad guys, maybe with the odd bit of equipment or something like that, but that's about it.
Definitely a dagginess to it, isn't there?
Yeah. Gypsy, what do you think of that?
Found it amusing that I can produce the same quality of video.
Special effects.
Yeah, with a smaller budget, much smaller budget than they had.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And again, we are 40 years in the future compared to them.
Yeah,
yeah, but still.
You did your own green screen recently, didn't
you?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I thought it was all right. I wouldn't go back and watch it willingly.
Yeah.
I'm glad to say that I can now say, yeah, it was something I once saw.
The cultural experience, you've ticked the box. And
You see, I'm probably actually in the same boat, but at the same time, I'm more than happy to say that I've tortured everyone else with it. So.
It's one of those ones that's always on the list, you know? I'm glad I've kind of had a chance to revisit it. And not that I don't really know much about it except for the song, but now I can say I've watched the show that goes with it.
Alex, have you seen this before?
No, I was aware the show existed, and that's about it. And I know it's the song. The song has kind of got a life of its own at this point.
Mm.
But it was an okay episode, and I have nothing more to say because it wasn't my thing.
Didn't do much for you?
No. It seemed pretty sedate compared to the stuff I'd want to watch.
It's very sedate compared to the recent stuff.
I hadn't actually even heard of it until I met Justin. And then he forced me to watch it.
And because what's the era? It's early 80s, definitely. Yeah, early 80s. Yeah. But like, 80s, yeah, what, 80?
81.
81.
81 to 83, there's three seasons. Like I say, it's the first series, all very sort of normal happenings. Later on, it gets quite supernatural. But
any reason why we couldn't have watched that episode instead of this one?
Well, the later episodes I've got are all in VHS quality, which are really, really awful.
And sometimes it's like, this is the original, like, this is how it all starts out. And then it's like it starts going, I'm not saying that it gets worse once
it does
it
get
starts,
wackier.
It's not necessarily what the nostalgia is about, really, is it? The nostalgia is about the first few seasons.
Yes, that's right. It's normally about the first few seasons. I mean, it's like Lost in Space. If you watch the very first episode, it's really dry, hard sci-fi. An attempt at dry hard sci-fi, and then it slowly migrates to giants, and then to
Dr. Smith
being a carrot.
Yeah. Okay.
This doesn't quite go that far. It would have if it went for 7 series.
I don't know whether the reference is probably more my era than anyone else that's at the room, but like Sliders, I went back and watched Sliders.
Remember the first season? I don't think I watched the later ones because
you did the right thing. But I'm surprised how early it did start going sideways with the Cro-Mags and stuff. But then, you know, anyone who doesn't know the show, like you said, you know, but wouldn't it be more exciting once the Cro-Mags and the aliens come in and all the stuff, all the action? No, it was awful.
It's basically like, interesting concept, and then they had to dumb it down because they felt like it was going to be more populist or going to get more viewers or going to be easier to write or something like that.
Yeah, it was like lowest common denominator.
Well, I thought one of the best episodes, and when I looked at the list of best episodes that came up, was the one written by, is it Robert Culp? Which goes a little bit left-wing. It switches up the politics because a lot of the episodes are super pro-US, pro-CIA, pro-FBI, very right-wing kind of mantra going through it. And this one episode really stood out as where it all flips around and they're no longer entirely the good guys.
Wow.
Especially for the early 80s, that would have been really weird. because of how Reagan it would have been at the time.
Yes, and everything else. Yeah. Well, the reason his name changes, because his name's actually Hinckley, but when there was that assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan by somebody called Hinckley, they changed his name briefly.
To Hanley.
To Hanley, yes, for a few episodes, and then it changes.
Oh, only for a few episodes, and then changes back. Yeah, oh, my God. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, they just changed it for good, no, but it just,
they did,
you know.
No. They did change back. They changed back. I don't understand why they changed
back. Well, it's a syndicated TV show, and so every episode is just almost a standalone thing in these shows. Really, you're supposed to be able to watch that beginning sequence in the titles and know everything you know about the show, and then just watch it and possibly never see it again, or intermittently see other episodes later on.
Yeah.
Because that's the way syndicated TV tends to work in the US, or it did work at the time anyway.
It's such a different world now. Like, you just wouldn't do that. You'd binge watch. You'd start at the beginning and work your way through.
And there's a story.
That's it. You follow the storyline and it moves and people evolve, you know.
The storyline in this is so loose. It's like a series level changes.
It does get married one episode. They do get married.
They do get married.
So that's about the only change through the whole thing.
He learns a bit more about his superpowers. Mm-hmm. You know, over time he learns invisibility, he learns telekinesis, he learns all these things. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, strangely enough, in later episodes where he needs those powers, he doesn't have them and he's forgotten them. And
I guess that's how you write around that. Like, they've got powers to do anything, and then he forgets how to do it. But too late
No, they just don't do it. They forget. The writers forget.
It's different script writers.
They're different script writers. Yeah.
So there's no...
continuality, except for probably between season one and season two.
I did like that. I thought that was really clever. And I know you guys had already set it up with that whole kind of him trying to learn his superpowers and stuff. But, you know, when he's getting all excited, it's like, I see a file and I see these words and I've got it, I'm doing it. And they're like, it's the file we've got in our hand. And I love that. I love the idea of, you know, not just the Superman, the superfluous man, like the man who's like not really quite necessary. They can kind of do the job without him, really.
The very first episode, a little kid teaches him how to fly. He's got no idea how to fly. The little kid comes up and says, no, you're supposed to take 3 steps and you're supposed to put your hands in front and things like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he does so and crashes into a wall immediately, and the police arrest him and take him as a lunatic.
I still love the, you know, going back to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, when Arthur Dent tries to learn to fly, and the art of learning to fly is to fall and not land.
To forget to land.
That's it.
To forget to hit the ground.
Yeah.
He just continually is making mistakes all the way through.
Never seems to decide whether it's comedy or serious.
Yes. One thing that I thought it was hilarious, but I don't know whether it was actually supposed to be funny or whether it was like supposed to be, you know.
Serious,
It was when they showed the FBI guy in the FBI office, and how do they know that they're in the FBI office? A gigantic poster of J. Edgar Hoover. I wonder where he is.
I wonder where he is.
Yeah. So how do I decorate my cubicle? I know, a massive picture of J. Edgar Hoover. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, otherwise, how would we know that he's in the FBI building? I mean,
When Angus and Patrick were little, because they'd been watching it, and they were doing this video at preschool, and they were imitating different animals, and obviously they were told to fly, so Patrick put his hand like that instead of doing the standard
thing. Straight for the superhero.
Yeah. We're watching too much Greatest American Hero.
I especially like Robert Culp in that. Good. The FBI guy is really quite good. He's quite a character.
The word scenario in every single episode. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh, yes, that's his scenario.
We've got a scenario happening here.
Though, like, he was getting so morose over, like, age and things like that. But then he was, like, going, oh, but he was so young. He was, like, he shouldn't have had a heart attack. He was 44. And I'm, like, going, jeez, like, that's young now. Like, I can't even. I'm, like, I don't know how old he was supposed to be. But he's talking about being over the hill. And I'm, like, I'm going to have a midlife crisis. Watch out, everyone.
Every episode, there's something going on like that. You know, there's something going on with the characters. Or, you know, say, for example, William Cat and Connie Selica having a fight or things like that.
The interesting thing about this is that I didn't remember was that she knows about his superpowers.
Yeah.
And she's the girlfriend of the superhero, but, like, unlike most comic books, and the girlfriend doesn't fully know.
The Lois Lane thing. Yeah.
completely throws.
He's not wearing a mask.
No,
he's, you know, if he was wearing a mask, she wouldn't recognise him. Yeah. The, you know, the hair wouldn't give him away at all.
That hair! Oh,
he has big curly hair.
Oh,
betcha hair.
It looks like he's straight off a beach.
I think "straight" is the wrong word to use there because it's very curly.
Right, so, was, very curly. So is that his real hair, or is that like that's a Leo Sayer perm thing happening?
Well, I don't know, but
I've not seen him in anything else.
Like my dad had a similar looking perm back in the '80s as well. Mm. So you know, it's like never quite trust whether they're real.
The only time I've seen William Catt since is in a movie, and it's a very low budget movie called The Man from Earth.
It's actually a really good film.
It's almost a stage play level film. Where they're just all in the house and he's just one of the professors there. They're all university professors. One of them actually has lived since 10,000 BC or something.
As you do.
And is posing as a... Well, he's a professor, but...
But does he have the curly hair in that as well?
Yeah, does
he? Pretty close, pretty close. He's grown it longer.
I reckon heard him on an interview and I think it might have been Women Talk Sci-Fi, like Jerry Eugenia's podcast. He was involved with a popular sci-fi show. It had the woman from Stargate SG-1.
Sanctuary?
Sanctuary, maybe? Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know.
Oh, it's
IMDb.
Sanctuary,
IMDb.
We're all looking at our phones.
What was it? We're all looking at our phones.
Yeah. Butch and the Sundance, the early days. Perry Mason TV.
It was more recent, I think.
He's got a picture of him here looking
quite
old.
We're on the same
with
website.
Curly hair.
Yeah.
All on our phones and we are looking at...
Oh, was he the main guy from Carrie? He was the one that Carrie dated and then...
I'm not sure.
Carrie, the original 70s movie, the Stephen King movie. Bucket of Blood.
I don't know if he was.
I remember listening to him on a podcast and it was very interesting. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, I was surprised that Robert Culp didn't appear in quite a bit more because he was quite a personality.
Was great.
He was very expressive. He was probably one of the stronger actors there.
Yeah.
But then I spent the first, 5 minutes going, I know him from somewhere. I think he's one of those people, he just pops up in so much that unless he looks like someone and I just can't put my finger
on. And I'm sure he plays the same character every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's my suspicion.
I'm 90% sure he's in Charmed, but I can't remember, like...
I know most of you haven't watched Carrie, so... Okay, the whole thing with Carrie, she's this really shy girl and one of the girls, Sue, like, takes pity on her and she gets grounded, so she's like, talks her boyfriend into asking Carrie to the prom. And then that's what sets off that whole thing where she gets the bucket of blood, but, you know, the girl had the best intentions and so did the boy. The boy is William Catt from Greatest American Hero. Check out that hair. That is all curls. That is 70s boy touch.
And that's him
curls.
In
Carrie. At the prom, you know, looking adoringly at Sissy Spacek just before she gets a bucket of blood on her head.
Surely that would be scarier than the rest of the movie, just seeing that.
And then the boy who's involved with getting the bucket of blood is John Travolta. So, you know, that's why I was getting confused.
So, there's quite a few of these actors.
So basically you're saying the intentional horror was actually not as scary as the casting.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Robert Culp, I Spy, 1965 to 68, so that's really old. He also played in CBS 4-star Western series as a Texas Ranger.
I've seen that,
He was in Everybody Loves Raymond, but there is no mention of him on
Charmed.
I could be wrong. Man from U.N.C.L.E. He was cast as Captain Shark in the first episode.
Is Man from U.N.C.L.E. on our list?
It must be. Is Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Make a note. I'll check. Yeah.
Need a bit of Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin.
He was in Outer Limits, Demon with a Glass Hand, written by Harlan Ellison. Gunsmoke.
You're just throwing words at me. I don't know.
These are old things.
They're all classic cult TV.
He made a cameo appearance as an inebriated Turkish waiter on Get Smart.
A cameo appearance.
They even had the I Spy theme music in the background while he did it.
Oh, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Falk, Robert Wagner, Darren McGavin. Who's Darren McGavin?
I know that name. Hang on.
Night Stalker.
That's it. Why do I know that name?
He was with them in The Name of the Game. He also played the husband of Angie Dickinson in the movie See the Man Run. He played the murderer in 3 Columbo episodes.
I used to love Columbo.
The same murderer?
He also played the same murderer in the pilot episode of Mrs. Columbo's, starring Kate Mulgrew.
I was going to say, what I think Mrs. Columbo was. It was Kate Mulgrew.
And he almost took the male lead role of the series Space 1999 with Gerry Anderson.
Almost.
So nothing that we could put a finger on. But...
No. But, you know, he's in things like Robot Chicken and...
A film which we can't really recognise him anymore.
No, you'd never recognise him in that.
Some surprisingly big names in Robot Chicken.
And he died in 2010, by the way. He'd had a heart attack. Okay, yeah, that's Robert Culp.
How many stars, Angus? Oh, this is your choice, though.
How much stars would you guys give it? That's the real question.
Out of what? Just pick some arbitrary number to make it out of.
Out of seven.
Out of seven and a half.
All right, out of seven and a half then.
Well, that's just out of 15.
I'll give it a 5 out of 7.5.
So that's a 10 out of 15.
No, it's a 11 out of... Yeah, I don't
know. I'll give this one a 3 out of 7.5, I think.
3 out of 7.5. Oh, my God.
How would you rate that show? Did you like it, Mackenzie?
Mackenzie liked it.
Are you going to talk or?
How much did you like the show?
Ooh.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An apathetic moan and a shrug.
What would you rate it, Mackenzie?
Out of 5.
If you were to use a word to describe it.
I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know? No, that's fair.
Yeah, it's all right.
We had more fun drawing, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about theme song?
Well, how do you rate the drawing then? If the drawing was more fun than the show, where's the drawing set?
She's more impressed by a spoon right now. I don't think it matters anymore.
I give the show a 5 and I give the theme song a 10.
Can you show me that spoon again, Mackenzie? That was really impressive. Wow.
The spoon better.
Yeah, wow. That's just... Sorry, Justin, what were you talking about? Have you seen this spoon?
Alex, what do you...
I'm going to give it an... I don't know how to do star ratings properly out of 7.5.
Just choose a number. Really, it's arbitrary.
17i. It's an imaginary number, so it doesn't actually count with it.
Right.
Oh, it's an imaginary number. So sideways imaginary. Yeah. But quite a high scale.
That could be 7 out of 7.5. Just saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
You did put an actual number in there, so are you going with 7?
I'm going with
3.832.
Okay.
3.832, that's quite good.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you give it, Gypsy?
Wow, have you seen this? She gives it a spoon out of 17.
I'm going to give it 2 spoons.
2 spoons?
Out of 7.
Out of 4 texters.
Oh, you've heard it here first.
I'm not going to use mine out of stars, but I'm going to set it in a mood. So, like, let's say you weren't well, so you have the day off and you're sick and you're lying on the couch and there's no internet access, so you can't stream anything. So you're watching it on TV and it comes on TV and you just want to curl up underneath the doona and watch something and not think. Best show ever.
So
if you had access to anything else, you'd watch anything else instead of that, mm-hmm. basically.
Infomercials.
Better than infomercials.
So much.
Okay, he was also in Half-Life 2. There's Dr. Wallace Breen.
That's why he never made Half-Life 3.
And his life's ambition was to make a film out of his favourite comic strip, Terry and the Pirates.
I'm actually with Jeanette on this one. I would give this one probably a 3 out of 7.5.
Does not hold up for you.
Do you know what? If I was in the mood, I would probably watch this, actually.
I would watch an episode or two.
I need to be doing something else at the same time.
You know
when you're like going through phases of like, oh, I love 80s stuff right now. I've got to binge watch the 80s. I would definitely binge watch this. I would binge watch this if I was in that kind of headspace, but just not.
Just not.
And I don't think I will be.
No.
So 2 spoons out of 4 texters.
So what are we doing next episode? Thunderbirds.
It can't be my second choice because...
Forgot what it is?
No, I worked out what it is. It's too similar to Greatest American Hero. We need to shuffle up a bit.
Yeah.
So maybe...
I think we should...
Oh, we have too many.
We need many more.
We'll plan for the next year and a bit.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so that was the Classic Cult TV Club. Yeah, so in the future...
We have a June episode in July. Yeah. Like this is in July, except not as awkward.
Yes. Yep. So, is Lisa going to give us the theme song?
Oh! Oh my goodness, you've been stopping me this whole episode, greatest, and now I can't even say it.
Leave it or not, we didn't have to pay for royalties.
Leave it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could be so free. Just cut out whatever you feel like. You're a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. I love it!